Hey everyone, welcome to A Different Direction. We cover stories of the strange, document the weird, stuff like that. I'm Dave.
I'm Diana.
And today we're talking about episode 8 of The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., Senior Spirit.
This is not a good title. Right off the bat, just not a good title.
I like it. I like the title. I think it's a fun play on what's happening in this episode.
Oh?
Yeah, because it's like, when you're a senior in high school and you've got spirit, like senior spirit week.
Who's in high school?
No, but there's senior spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm saying it's a pun on the phrase senior spirit. I like it. I don't know. It's not great, but I enjoy it.
Okay. Well, what is it from 1 to 5?
I mean, I'd give it like a solid 3.5.
Oh, I give it like a 2.
Yeah, it's fair. It's purely...
Okay, but you know what? I give this episode a 10. Now let's do our other things that we're supposed to do in the beginning that we never do.
We do them every time. So first, if you want to reach out to us, you can tweet at us at diffdirectionpod. Or you can email us at differentdirection@tgifrk.com. We have a couple of messages from the freaks on the message board. Well, a freak on the message board. It's the same one, but we have two messages.
Okay.
So we got some more info from Sean Holland in response to some earlier episodes. Expanded a little on the Guns Not Hutter title. So Guns Not Hutter is a pun of Guns Not Butter. It's a phrase about spending on Vietnam over social services. So that's where it originated. And then also, we touched on this. I think I said the wrong thing on this one. And then I was like, it's not worth it for me to go back and correct myself or whatever. He did explain that a meteor is when it is anything that's in the sky burning from space.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes a meteorite when it makes impact with the ground. Which is relevant to this episode, actually. But yeah, it's a meteor, and then it becomes a meteorite if it reaches the ground.
Yeah, when the little prince shows up.
Yes, exactly. So thank you, Sean, for clarifying some of those things. So appreciate it. And it will be relevant for this episode.
Love to hear from the freaks.
Love to hear from the freaks. I also want to mention, so last episode when you were talking about... the thing about how, like, there's no pirates in Nevada, and you were like, there's like a pirate themed casino. That episode aired 2 weeks before Treasure Island Hotel and Casino opened in Las Vegas.
And that is the reason it opened.
Yeah, they
it
built
was a
it
tie-in.
In 2 weeks. Yeah, as a Briscoe County tie-in. It was literally 2 weeks before that opened.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
do you think they have commercials for that casino opening in different places?
I mean, I'd heard of it, so I'm sure I knew about it.
Like, I definitely saw commercials for water parks and stuff, but they're like in my state,
right?
Or like in the surrounding states.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have heard something from like Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But I might have seen it on like some TV show.
Yeah. I feel like casinos are the kind of thing that you see on TV.
Yeah.
Things like.
But when you live in California, you just go there all the time. You're like, oh yeah, Nevada. I just go there, you know, or to Vegas.
I mean, some people.
It's like
do.
2 seconds away. You just drop down on your hoverboard, speed on over.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm.
And then you can be back home for your pod race.
Yeah, of course.
Anyways.
Yeah, some people do that. I don't think if I lived in California, I would ever go to Vegas.
Yeah.
It's not my jam.
Love Vegas.
I don't. I do not want to go to Vegas. I have no interest in going to Vegas.
You can see the circus.
And I don't go to the circus when it's here.
Yeah. But does your circle but does your circus dance in French?
That really doesn't interest me. I just
What about Celine Dion and the rest.
Yeah, what about Celine Dion and the Professor of Marianne?
Yeah. Yeah, that's been good.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they have musicals in Vegas? Do they not? Maybe they do.
I mean, they probably... So I'm sure someone's doing musicals in Vegas.
I mean, do the shows go there is what I mean.
I'm sure they do, yes.
You know, the big ones, the big shows.
I'm sure they do. Like, any...
Like, did Hamilton go to Vegas?
Probably. It toured the, like, country.
Do they all go on a bus?
I don't know how they get around.
Did they take their hoverboards? Did they do a pod race to the different destinations? I'm sorry. This is already going so many places. All right.
All right. So
you can just cut all this out.
Nope. So jump into the writer on this episode was John McNamara, who actually is, so this is relatively early in his career, but he's become a very successful and prolific TV writer. Created a bunch of TV shows. He made his biggest one is he created that show The Magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the creator and like showrunner on that.
Isn't that the like second part of the Vampire Diaries or something? Is that related?
I don't think so. Maybe it is. I didn't think it was related. I think that's a different show you're thinking of.
Probably. Bye.
But that's like a fairly big show. But also wrote just I want to mention this one because I find it amusing. Wrote the TV made for TV movie Parent Trap: Hawaiian Honeymoon,
mm-hmm.
starring Haley Mills, like the original like mm-hmm. actress from the first Parent Trap. Just apparently renovating just a house
apparently,
in Hawaii.
LOL.
It was just the family going to renovate a house in like Hawaii, and then hijinks involving triplets. I don't know. I didn't get the entire plot, but I was just like, this
I think
seems...
we watched the Christmas version of that. The lookalikes. And...
Oh. In the Princess Switch?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the third one.
It was Princess Switch 3, yes.
So
which was glorious.
There were three.
I highly recommend. I haven't seen the other two. Loved the third one.
Okay, what else? I don't know any of these things this person has done.
Well, I've only said two things.
Oh, okay. So there's
The Magicians
more.
And
okay.
Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon. I was just amused that he wrote Parent Trap Hawaiian Honeymoon. That's just the idea of that existing is amusing to me,
well,
and I wanted to mention
it. Well,
it
does play into this.
It does.
This upcoming episode that we're never going to talk about.
We are. But just saying, he's done a whole bunch of, written a lot of TV, become quite successful over the years, but none that like I know a lot about, so I have a lot to say about it.
Okay.
So... And then director of this episode, Michael Lange, I think that's how you say it, L-A-N-G-E, who also has been pretty, like, has directed quite a bit of TV, did...
Parent Traps.
Seven episodes of Bones, five of Criminal Minds, a lot of the show...
Wait. Do you know what season?
I don't.
Okay, because that would be telling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I would have to check. Did 33 episodes of the show Greek, a couple of Honey, I Shrunk the Kid, and and three episodes of a one that's already come up on this podcast once before, Hard Time on Planet Earth. One of the shows that I brought up that I absolutely want to do on this podcast.
Great. I totally remember it.
About a alien war hero who was sent to Earth for as a prison.
I don't remember.
I have talked to you about this multiple times
outside
of the podcast.
This is how weird my life is. But I can't even remember that weird thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just think that's fun that I keep seeing people who are involved in this show that I've never heard of outside of this podcast.
Hmm. I'm just saying it's interesting. There are a lot. People got to do a job.
I know. I'm saying this one in particular is one that keeps
coming
up. And I just find that interesting.
It is interesting.
Anyway, I didn't have any content warnings on this one. Except ghosts.
Ah.
If you're really scared of ghosts.
Hey, ghosts.
Like, if you're a little spooked out by the idea of me even saying the word ghosts, then that's something to worry about. But other than that, I don't really have anything on this one.
Well, I want to say all ghosts are welcome to listen and to write in. On, you can reach us on Twitter, at our email, and through the spirit box. And we'll bring out the Ouija board if need be.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, you might need to tweet us.
To tell us to get the Ouija board out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're listening in.
Absolutely. We're listening. All right, you want to just jump into spoiling this episode?
Yeah. Do you want to just talk about the episode?
Sure.
You don't want my...
Do you have something?
No, I didn't write anything because I was too busy watching this episode.
Okay.
It's too good.
Okay. Then I will try. I'm going to try and do better than last time. Last time I was like, I don't need a timer. I got this thing up here. And then I definitely went pretty long because I stopped paying attention to the time. Okay, so we open on Briscoe escorting Jason, who's the son of a robber baron, Jason Barkley, and he's supposed to go meet up with his dad for a weekend of fishing or whatever, but they get ambushed. Briscoe is in a house, and he wants to come out and try and save Jason, who's being kidnapped by John Bly, but he doesn't because he gets too scared to, like, open the door, and he can't go out, and so... Jason gets taken away. Briscoe's kind of beating himself up over that, and then because he was scared. But the robber baron's like, "Can't believe you let my son get stolen. You're fired. We're gonna pay the ransom." And the ransom, we find out from Socrates that the ransom is one of the rods from the orb, which is what John Bly really wants. That's why he took Jason. So Briscoe decides he's gonna go after John Bly, even though he's not allowed to go after John Bly. So then Briscoe and Socrates end up going to where they're supposed to drop off the rod as a ransom to try and get Jason back and ambush the guys who've taken him, but they get ambushed. And Briscoe isn't able to catch him because he gets distracted by the fact that he sees his dad's ghost. Oh yeah, he touched the rod. The rod started glowing ahead of time, before that. And then he sees his dad's ghost. And he gets distracted and the guys get away. Lord Buller also gets sent behind them to try and capture them, but he's well behind everybody. But Briscoe manages to catch up with the two guys and leaves Socrates watching him after he's having some conversations with his dad. His dad's just there, just talking to him, helps him get away by roaring at the horses as a ghost. He's like, "Animals afraid of ghosts. I'm going to make them scared," and yells at the horses. John Bly has also taken Professor Wickwire, and he's trying to force Professor Wickwire to figure out what's going on with the orb that he has. But he's got an orb, and it's all burned up and stuff, and it's missing the rod that John Bly wants. And so he's forcing the professor to research it to save Jason. Briscoe's doubting himself all the time, but his ghost dad keeps telling him to trust himself and listen to his instincts, and he's every time he does that, he gets closer, but then he ends up tracking Bly to a house with just some, like, old folks living in it. He's like, "It's not here," but then ghost dad's like, "Isn't it?" And he's like, "It is." And then he goes back, and it turns out it is. It's the hideout. The old folks are working for John Bly because they've got a secret passage underneath the house. So Briscoe manages to, like, get in there, get them out. There's a whole big fight. They eventually get John Bly gets the rod, and then they end up having this guy,
Loco Bob.
Yeah.
I think.
Loco Bob. They have this guy, Loco Bob, put the rod in there because Professor Wickwire's like, "You definitely should not put this rod in there. It's a terrible idea. This is damaged, and if you put it in, it'll be real bad." And Bly's like, "Yeah, go put that in there." And then he does, and it's real bad. He gets liquefied in some mid-90s CGI. And then There's a smoke screen gunfight thing that happens. They manage to get everybody out, but the house gets poltergeisted away. as the orb explodes, and his dad's like, love to help you, but I can't anymore. I'm not allowed to tell you what's going on with the orb, except that there's three of them. That was one of them. It was destroyed. Now there's only two left. But now I gotta go. And that's it. He's gone. I think that's everything. Oh, and Bowler was there.
Well, the robber barons, I guess Jason's dad is like, you want to be the new Briscoe?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of Bowler. Like, what?
Bowler? Like he offers it to Bowler.
Yeah. And, you know, of course Bowler shows up. That's what Bowler does. But mm-hmm. then he just like helps out.
Right. Yeah.
And then we find out he didn't take the job because he's like, I'm freelance.
Yeah. I ain't no company man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any important major plot points I missed that you can think of?
You said, that's why I was explaining Lord Bowler's bit. Albert Wickwire just randomly showing up. Mm-hmm. There's no transitions in this episode.
Yeah.
That make any sense to me.
Yeah.
It just felt like I would blink my eyes and suddenly we would be in a new location.
Yeah.
Also, how does Albert Wickwire end up with John Bly? Does John Bly just kidnap him?
I think John Bly just separately kidnapped him and we didn't see that happen. It just happened. He took him. He knows Wickwire as a like well-known scientist.
Well, he's in the papers.
Yeah. And he took him to try and figure out the orb because he was trying to get the rod to put into the orb. So he wanted to try and figure out what would happen before that happened. Because he even says, I know it's got a lot of power, but it also can destroy people. So he wanted to figure out what it was, what was happening with it before he did anything with it, so he wouldn't be destroyed by the orb. So he's trying to get Wickwire to figure it out.
Okay, I know like forever ago I was all really excited for John Bly to come back and the orb to be back, but no way. Okay, I'm just gonna say I never liked the whole alien abduction storyline that was all of the X-Files. I never was into that. And mm-hmm. I always just like these random episodes that were just fascinating to me.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd be like, oh, here's our over. And I'm like, who knows?
Okay. About 15 minutes ago, you definitely said that this episode was like 10 stars.
It is.
Okay.
It still is 10 stars.
Okay.
Even though it has John Bly and the orb in it. Because I was so excited. And also because I like Briscoe Senior's ghost,
uh-huh.
who I don't think was really actually there.
Oh no, I absolutely think he was there. He got orbed back.
How did it get orbed back? Oh, from...
Because Briscoe touched the So, when Socrates shows that the ransom for Jason is one of the rods from the orb,
mm-hmm.
he's like, this, you know, they've had this rod for a while, and scientists have been trying to figure it out, and all these people have looked at it. Nobody's been able to figure anything out. And then Briscoe touches it, and it starts glowing.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he's like, that's never happened.
Well,
with anyone
Socrates
else.
Said that.
Right. That's what I mean. Socrates says that's never happened with all the people that have been investigating it. So I think what's happened is because Briscoe's dad had that rod on him as evidence when he died.
Is that what... Socrates is holding. It's not the rod, right?
No. In that first episode,
no,
it was just
it's like
random...
it's definitely a golden orb.
It looks like a golden, like weird
he
comb
has a third,
thing.
He has a third orb.
Yeah. No. So it's definitely not that. But he's like, so it doesn't. It glows when Briscoe touches it, and it's never done that before. So I think that him touching it made some connection that allows his dad to come back just enough to guide him and help him with orb stuff and give him real information about the orbs for a brief period of time.
Well, something about the orb. Well, he's supposed to have special powers of some kind. He has some kind of powers.
Who does?
Briscoe.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I don't know if he...
He can see ghosts, so that's at least one power.
I think the rod makes the ghost visible to him.
So he does a thing where he decides to jump off a cliff. We didn't really talk about that.
Right.
Because John Bly kind of has him cornered, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it?
Yeah, John Bly had him cornered.
Okay, because I was like, was it Remy or?
Yeah, no. It was John Bly that had him
cornered. Bob or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely not Bob Loco.
No. I just wasn't sure it was Bob.
I think they normally just say Loco and then say Bob sometimes.
Yes.
And then say the whole, they're just like, we'll just call you all names all the time. But not all at once.
Right. No, I think Briscoe, when he's cornered and he's got his back to the cliff, what he figures out is that
he can make it.
He can grab enough branches to break his fall that he'll survive jumping off the cliff. Because Lord Bowler jumps off the same cliff later.
I know. We need to go back and talk about some things. And that is what I'm trying to do.
Right. All I'm saying is I don't think that's Briscoe having any powers. That's just him figuring out an escape.
He touched the orb and it did a light. He clearly has powers.
I think the light was the energy bringing the dad's ghost back.
Okay, why didn't the dad come back right then?
Man, I don't know all the mechanics of the orb rod and ghosts and stuff. I feel like he touched the rod and someone. Because, like, here's the thing. When his dad's like, I have information, but I can't tell you all of it. There's rules. I feel like he touched the orb, and it was like someone sending a message to, you know, Briscoe Sr. somewhere to be like, all right, you got to come to this briefing room. I got to tell you some stuff. You got to go back down to Earth. I'm going to have to give you some information. Yeah. I'm going to have to give you some information. I can only tell you so much. You can
Black
only tell
oil.
Briscoe. Yeah. So like it took some time. He had to get his manila folder full of information and go through it and figure out what he was allowed to tell. You know, somebody had to give him some information somewhere. It took time.
I love all of this, but I realize you cut me off in the middle of my weird tangent where you thought I was hating on the episode, but really what I was going to say is that I think the show is actually really good that it doesn't need this. What is the orb? What is this? What is this? Why does this need to be there? Anyways, I don't think that this dad is very good at pep talks, but I still like it. But Lord Bowler... tracking down Briscoe, we need to talk about it. But first, we need to talk about how the Remy and Loco were tied up, and one person had ants in his pants, literally.
Yep.
That's very important. Yep. They also trick Socrates by asking for water, and then... they get free, basically.
Yeah.
That's how they end up in the jail, in the cave jail.
Yes, yes.
Since we can't remember half of this episode.
Yeah, because Briscoe specifically says to Socrates, don't go anywhere near these two. They're tied up. Don't go anywhere near them. And they're like, hey, give me some water. And he's like, no. And they're like, please? And he's like, okay. Like, it's so easy for them to trick him.
Yeah, but that's Remy.
Yeah.
Loco's too worried about these ants.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, so when Bowler shows up, I love that he's like, there are ants here.
Yeah. Oh,
and
Mr.
people
Ants.
Tied up. What?
Because he even says, like, hey, Mr. Ants.
And then he's just, like, crawling around on his, like, hands and knees, like, knows totally what's happened everywhere, and then you see that scene where he's like tumbles down the cliff.
Yeah,
and
because
I
that's
love
where,
it
because that's where Briscoe went.
Yes!
So he's like, "This is where I go."
Yeah,
no one out tracks Lord Bowler.
Love it.
Yeah, and Also on that, before he goes over the cliff, that one point when he's crawling along and there's like a rattlesnake in front of him,
mm-hmm.
and he shouts down the rattlesnake.
Oh, yeah. See, Lord Bowler's the best.
Lord Bowler rules. Yeah.
I know.
so
okay,
good.
Can we talk about Jason? Jason sure. is the most 90s boy. Why are they not goth in this? I just... Jason's face just looks too modern.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't... How... Maybe it's because they're young. How do you make... You know why? Because I think you need to have, like, a dusty face. You have to have, like, 5 o'clock shadow, even when it doesn't matter if you normally have a beard at any time. When you're in the Old West,
mm-hmm.
everyone has 5 o'clock shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just like covered in dust.
Yeah.
And hair.
I actually have an idea of why he looks so 90s. He's got a very 90s haircut. Considering he's in this like Old West show. And I feel like it's because...
It's the haircut. You're totally yeah. right. It's the haircut. And mm-hmm. if they had just combed his hair back.
Yeah.
Or if they, that's the problem mm-hmm. with the show is that, I mean, you can't complain about it. The show already has the orb and John Bly. Like, what yeah. is John Bly seal?
Right. I think the thing with this kid is because he was in one episode of this show and he was like actively working at the time in various different shows. Not a lot, but like he was getting work. There is like only so much you can do to his hair without messing up his hair for other jobs.
No, you just comb it and you use gel. Maybe he was just like, I won't do that. I'm too cool of a teen.
It might be. I just feel like there's a certain...
Cool teen Jason here. Wear my vest. I'm a rich little boy.
I just feel like when you're an actor that's like, frequently going for new jobs because you don't have like a set job.
I know, but just think, this is what I'm talking about, Dave. I know what you're talking about. I'm talking about like the difference of what my hair is like when I wake up mm-hmm. versus when I brush it versus if I style it versus, right. you know, like
yeah, yeah.
that's no, what I mean.
I get it. What I'm saying is, I feel like this kid got his hair did and then didn't want to get it messed up for the show by having them do stuff that looked more like some like cowboy stuff because
he's not a cowboy.
Right. But cowboy times because he has to go on like some more auditions tomorrow.
And he can't put his hair. That's not how that works. I refuse to believe that.
I'm saying
I refuse to believe that.
That's how that works. Sometimes that's how that works.
That's stupid. I'm sorry. I can't believe that they would lose the whole integrity of the show by using belts.
Yeah.
And also not getting rid of this 90s hair. Dave, you're making me say terrible things about this episode, and I don't want to do it.
I'm not making
you
saying
And you're just driving this into the ground, just like me, on my drill. Okay. Also, I want to say that this prison, everyone is in prison. Is it written in the contract that there must be prison bars in every episode? I don't think there's not been in prison.
No, because there was just an episode where we specifically called out that no one ended up in prison. I don't remember which one it was, but it definitely happened.
Even pirates in the cave got locked in behind bars.
They did. What was the one before the Pirates one?
No Man's Land. Oh, the one in Mexico?
Yes. Briscoe and Jalisco. No. Yeah. Remember, because we thought the name sounded like it was jail. Because
mm-hmm.
it was Jalisco. But it was Jalisco.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ended up in jail. It was the first episode where nobody ended up behind bars.
Well, that's because they were supposed to get, like... rocket launchered to death in their beds.
Right, yes.
And instead they weren't there.
Right. But they didn't get locked up. Nobody got locked up in that episode.
Are you Sure.
Yeah. Nobody got locked up.
Okay,
some people
well,
died.
One out of 8 episodes. Good job.
Also, okay, one thing I wanted to call out on this was there's a point where...
One thing, this is a show about calling things out.
Well, yeah, but one I want to make sure that I remember is when Briscoe's, you know, ghost dad first shows up and he puts his hand through him and he's like, oh boy, because it's like Quantum Leap.
It's like Quantum Leap?
When he puts his hand through Al, because Al's a hologram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he That's always says, like, oh boy.
Does he say, oh boy?
At the, every episode when
no,
he first...
No, I meant, does Briscoe?
Yeah.
Oh.
After he puts his hand through his dad, he's like, oh boy. And I'm like, that's absolutely a Quantum Leap reference. And I checked, and it's in the IMDb trivia that it is intended as a reference to Quantum Leap.
Wow.
Which I just enjoy.
That show.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I used to think, like, that show was really cool, and maybe it still is.
Mm-hmm.
But because Correct. It's set in the future, and we're in the future,
mm-hmm.
it seems very tame.
I mean, okay, fair, yeah.
Like, if it's not Game of Thrones style, I'm just like, how can you get into it?
Except it's set in the past. Very
when,
little
when
of it.
When is Game of Thrones set?
Well, no, I'm...
In the ultimate past.
You said it's set in the future, and I was like, it's more of the past. It's mostly just in the past.
Oh.
It's futuristic technology, but it's almost... The show is almost entirely in the past.
Fine. Yeah.
Oh,
you mean Quantum Leap?
Yeah. We very rarely see the future.
I know. I don't know. It's just very Ghostbusters. It's fine.
Okay. By the way, at least 2 loon sounds in this episode.
There's more than that. There are like 4 or 5.
Okay. I believe you. I'm saying at least. I said at least 2.
Less eagles.
Fewer
more loons.
Eagles than loons in a show set in a place where there are eagles and no loons.
But this was a different call.
Yes.
This
yeah.
was
so
that
at least two distinctly different loon sounds.
It was more like ah! Instead of roar.
Precisely. Yes. Those are the 2 loon calls that appeared.
I just used my loon call to do those. I have 4. Since there's 4 distinct loon sounds.
Right. I mean, that is true.
Okay, I don't know. We're not even talking about this episode.
No, we are. So this was an interesting... Okay, interesting thing that happened early on before, you know, the dad told him the whole thing about there being 3 orbs is, like, when we first see the orb, and it's all, like, burned up, right? Like, half of it is like, mm-hmm. scorched and, like, burned.
Well, the last time we saw the orb, what with Briscoe?
It was the
with
one
the professor?
With the professor. Yeah. Yeah.
So for some reason, I assumed that was the same orb as that one, mm-hmm. but maybe this orb is different. So there's mm-hmm. one with the professor, because the one with the professor is the one that was in the water or
no?
No.
That's the thing. We find out in this episode that there were 3 orbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is, I believe, the 3rd one we've seen, because Briscoe threw one
oh,
at Big
this
Smith
is the
and it
one...
went into the river.
This is the one that got blown up in the mine?
No. That's the one, because they said that one was found in an Arizona desert. That's not where... The one we
oh.
see in this episode was found in an Arizona desert. And is all scorched up. The one we saw in the first episode that was found in the train, like, when mm-hmm. they were blowing up the mountain for the train... That was whole and solid and undamaged.
So that's the one that went in the river.
That's the one that went in the river. The one the professor had is the 2nd orb that
you
we
mean
saw.
The 3rd orb.
It's the 2nd one we've seen.
What is this one?
The 3rd one.
You think the professor's is separated from the one on the train?
Yes.
So, okay. So that accounts for the 3 orbs. So
yes.
do you think, and by the professor, we don't mean Professor Wickwire, we mean the professor, right,
the
orb
scholar from the episode, the orb scholar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The we one... all know that. We're all Briscoe fans here.
Right.
So
the one that he had in his wagon is not the orb that Briscoe threw in the river.
Okay. So is the orb scholar gonna be back in this episode? Next episode? Or
Who knows when he's coming back, but I'm assuming he's got one of the two remaining orbs.
Okay.
Because one of them gets destroyed at the end of this one, and then there's two more.
Wow, spoilers. It's already is destroyed. It's already is destroyed.
Well, it's damaged. Now I think it's completely destroyed. Because when he put the rod back into it, it ends up exploding and destroying itself. So
I don't understand how they are all alive, though. They were all in the room with the orb when it exploded.
No, they were outside of the house when it exploded. Because they look back and you see it, you see the house, and then you see the house actually, like, explode in... Well, you see it, like, all the windows lighting up with lightning energy.
Why does John Bly want to do that if he...
He doesn't. He's hoping that getting the rod back will allow him to harness the power of the orb. Wickwire tells him it'll probably be a really bad idea to put the rod in, and then it's a really bad idea to put the rod in.
I just don't... But the thing is, like, Wickwire doesn't know anything about the orb. Everything he learns about the orb, he learns right there.
Right.
And then we see that one part, which is very confusing to me, where he's just like, hey, Jason, look at this orb. Do this cool light thing. Uh-huh. And then the professor, like, zones out into orbital space.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what he sees, but then he seems to like come back, and that's when John Bly comes back in the cave front door, whatever.
Right.
But I thought John Bly, like, someone's in the room. And he's just like having an open conversation with Jason, like, hey Jason, look at the cool orb things.
Yeah.
And John Bly's just, like, looking at his iPhone. I don't know, but yeah, I guess he wasn't even in the room. He could have just ran out.
But he would have left Jason behind, and Jason would... John Bly told him that if he didn't stay and help, then Jason would have been killed.
Who cares?
This boy has...
only been in one episode. Wickwire's daughter died, and he has no feelings about that at all.
She didn't die. She was removed from the timeline. He has no memory of her.
Just like this boy.
This boy exists in front of him. That's different than somebody being removed from your timeline. You don't remember that because they never existed. This boy's right in front of her. Run right in front of him.
I just think they would have killed Wickwire if he tried to escape too.
Probably also that, yes.
He just needs to get to Briscoe. Briscoe was always going to save Jason. John Bly doesn't shoot anyone. Every time that John Bly could have shot anyone any number of times and just chose not to.
Because
instead, he blows them all up with the orb, and then the show ends.
Because he felt there was value in getting... He wanted the orb rod back, and he felt there was value in keeping them alive.
I still don't think the father exists, and it was a hallucination. And also, in my notes, I wrote how the ghost dad is a Zen master.
But then he's
good at first, and then he's like, you know, believe in yourself and all this, but also, like, don't mess up, keep going, you know, like, maybe doesn't say that.
No,
but
he's saying not to doubt himself. Like, he's like, Briscoe's doubting himself because he feels bad.
No,
because
he's beating up his son. No. His ego, he's like, his Briscoe's all like dusty on the ground. He's just like, Dad, I don't know what to do. And he's on the verge of tears. And then I feel like his dad's just like talking about compassion.
What his dad's saying is, take a moment, take a breath, think about what's happening, because you know what you're doing. You
but
actually
I don't understand
didn't.
Why he's doubting himself all. Is it because he touched the orb?
No, because, okay, in the first scene, when Jason gets kidnapped.
Oh, he hesitates to open the door, and right. So now he thinks it's his fault that Jason gets kidnapped right. And blah, 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 blah,
right.
Blah.
Because his fear slowed him down. But then his dad is like, your fear saved your life. I didn't hesitate to open the door, and it got me killed. John Bly was going to shoot you if you opened that door. Your fear saved your life. Your instinct to not just run out in front of the gun saved your life, and it got me killed. You made the right decision. You are now alive to save Jason because you didn't open that door.
Thanks, Ghost Dad. I can do it now. I can go fight the old folks now. They're not even there anymore. They do like have some kind of guns for
yeah.
When the battle ensues.
Well, they get ambushed and then stuck in the
oh,
shed.
Oh yeah, yeah, because Briscoe gets his confidence back.
Right.
Literally in 1 second, and then it's just like, surprise, I'm here. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And then they have that log hideaway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really enjoy the
fake logs.
Yeah, the fake pile of firewood that's actually a door. Yeah, I really enjoy that. But also, I just want to say, like, this is about as compassionate as I could hope former Drill Sergeant Arlie Ermey to be. Like, it's hard to imagine him being more, like, showing much more compassion than he is in this episode.
Who? Whitmire?
No, the dad. The actor who plays the
dad.
Oh! Like, he's a, like, actual former, like, Marines drill sergeant, Arlie Ermey, as, like, being the kind of distant dad. This is the most compassionate I could imagine him, this character ever looking. Or acting.
This is... I feel like a Bigfoot would be better at parenting.
But that's his whole thing. He's like, yeah, he wasn't a good parent. He's trying. He's trying in this moment to be like, I did a bad job.
How about a hug?
He's a ghost. He passed right through him when he tried to touch him. He couldn't.
How do you know that he wasn't just leaping into the next time?
No, I'm saying, like, Al couldn't have hugged, Scott Bakula.
Because he didn't have any compassion. Because
he was a hologram.
Fine.
Fine.
I'll stop being contrarian about this topic.
Oh. Going back to something we talked about in the last episode, once again, Socrates standing up to his employers, standing up to Briscoe, being like, look. Because, like, Socrates absolutely was not supposed to show Briscoe this orb rod, and then, but he does. He's like,
shows him his rod?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he does, and then, you know, he's like, I'm not supposed to be showing you this, but I want you to know this, and I want to do something about this. And Briscoe, and, you know, Briscoe's like, stop standing behind your employer. And Socrates is like, look, if I cared about my employers, I wouldn't be showing you this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh. You know, like, seeing Socrates not only stand, like, betray his employers, but also stand up to Briscoe. Like, Socrates is growing a lot as a character.
Yeah. As opposed to John Bly, who's still cool as a cucumber.
Well, yeah.
He's just so suave and, like, has so much finesse.
Mm-hmm.
And is also just, like, just graceful.
Yeah. John Bly, I love John Bly.
John Bly is just a complicated villain to me.
Yeah.
Like, they're so mean
mm-hmm.
and will torture you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're more psychological. Even
oh, yeah.
though they always have guns and a million, that's why they have like a million people.
Uh-huh.
To tell them to do all the shooting so he doesn't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, Yeah, we talked about that. Was part of what we talked about is that, like, I think he absolutely will, but he'd rather not.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that before. And then so yeah, he's just, mm-hmm. I'm curious. What happens if he's the Orb Scholar?
That would definitely be interesting.
Do you think he could be Orb Jesus?
I'm going to guess no.
I don't know what that means. But, I guess that's more Briscoe.
Yeah. Or Pete. I've seen him in more of a Jesus role before. The actor, anyway. So, yeah, I don't feel like the Orb would accept John Bly.
Oh, the Orb would know that he's evil.
Yeah. The Orb, I don't think, would accept him.
Okay,
as...
so the Orb has morals.
Absolutely, yes. 100%, I believe the Orb has morals, and...
Okay, but what kind of morals?
I mean...
Like, who's deciding that?
I mean... Either the Orb or something behind the Orb has some... consciousness?
I think I know who it is.
Okay, who do you think it is?
Lord Bowler. Lord, right in the name.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that's not what Bowler's thinking.
Right, right.
But what if?
What, I mean, look, entirely possible.
And nothing bad better ever happened to Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
I love him.
Yes. Agreed. I do want to say a thing that I've noticed and never really brought up before in this is, like, nobody ever actually shoots anyone on this show. This is the first episode, other than when Briscoe's dad died, that we've... And so in the pilot, Briscoe's dad gets shot.
Yeah.
And Big Smith's gang, including Pete, shoot each other.
Mm-hmm.
But Briscoe, until this episode, has never shot anyone.
Does he shoot somebody in this?
He does. Remy, so there's a point in...
Oh, this is on purpose then.
It is. It is.
They didn't want to show that.
Yeah. Because in the end episode, Briscoe tries to escape by using gunpowder to make, like, fill the house with smoke and try and get away. Remy manages to grab Jason.
This was a weird... That was an interesting scene where they filled the cave of smoke and, like, Ghost Dad was like, should you be doing that? And he's like, I've done it before and it works. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because earlier he was like, that's not really a plan. Calling that a plan is generous. But he still ends up doing it. But Remy still manages to get Jason. And it sounds like he's going to kill him. And his dad's like, you got to shoot him. And he's like, I can't. I can't see anything. He's like...
Yeah, and he's like, use your powers.
Yeah. He does say, use your powers. Like, he means, like, he's got senses better beyond just, like...
Yeah, use your powers.
I mean, it's possible the rod gave him powers. I'm not disagreeing that...
He did! He came back to life!
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is I'm not disagreeing that it's possible that the rod maybe gave him powers other than bringing him back to life that one time. But more what his dad keeps telling him is, like, just think...
Trust your gut.
Sense... Like, trust your senses, trust what you believe is happening. And he does, and he manages to shoot Remy, but you don't see Remy get shot.
Okay, so I'm realizing this in these kinds of shows. Do you normally see people shooting people like this?
Sometimes, yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm rewatching Criminal Minds, and I noticed that when there's a guest star or something, they might show them holding the gun, but they don't show it shooting the other person. It's just implied by, and I'm like, oh, that's done on purpose.
Yes.
So I would imagine it's a similar
thing. What I'm saying is, until this, Briscoe has not shot anyone, not just we haven't seen it, he hasn't actually shot anyone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's a lot of, but that's the thing, this show, there's a lot of shooting happening, and we know Briscoe is a good shot. Briscoe has, until this episode, not shot anyone. He's shot at a lot of people. He has not hit anyone.
Okay, but he's used his gun, and that's fine.
Right, but he hasn't actually shot anyone.
Yeah, because you don't normally do that.
In Westerns, the hero shoots people all the time.
The hero is not likable.
I mean, lots of likable heroes in Westerns shoot people.
No.
Okay. I'm just saying, I think it's interesting. This is the first time we've ever had a scene where he actually shot someone.
Okay, so what do you think that's saying? Like, I feel you're like,
I feel like the show was, I feel like the show was purposefully not having him shoot people.
Okay, so what does letting him do this represent for the character or the show or?
Well, I'm not sure because I think it's important. I think it was an important decision.
So you're just noting that this has happened and.
Yes, but I'm also saying that in this moment, the only time he's ever done it, he was, one, he couldn't actually see the guy. It was part of him, like, trusting his abilities and whatever, but also it was about him saving a kid that was going to die if he didn't do it. But it's I just think it's interesting, and it's something that is so heavily focused on people shooting, having guns drawn in on each other, shooting at each other, and all these things. It's the first time that Briscoe's ever actually shot someone.
Yeah, because the show is about love.
Well, yeah.
The show is about compassion. You've brought it up multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, I want to say this is the first television show in history where a father and son could have said, I love you to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because does this ever happen?
No. And these are two, like, pictures of masculinity. Like,
yeah. When you have a baseball chant,
yeah.
You've never said I love you unless it's to a baseball bat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there was you brought this up. There's no hesitation here. There's no, like, awkwardness about it. There are father and son who love each other, and they say it.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good moment. I was coming down a little hard on the dad, and, like, you're right. But there is I love you.
Yeah.
And I kind of forgot about that until I wrote it down as a note. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that ended in a really nice way. And then he was like, bye.
Yeah. And that's another part of the reason I don't want to believe that it wasn't really him.
It's also part of the grief. Like, it's part of dealing with grief.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. But, like, that's, again, that's why I want to believe this was the ghost of his dad. Because I feel like no one else sees it. Yeah.
But Briscoe.
Because of his connection by touching the rod. The
Did his father touch the rod?
Yeah.
Orb?
His father had the rod on him when he died.
Oh. I don't think you said that before.
I probably forgot.
Yes. I probably just forgot.
Yeah. Socrates had said that he had it. It was the one thing that Briscoe wasn't given from when his dad died. He had that as evidence.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think there was some connection made when his dad died that Briscoe unlocked by touching it that allowed him to see his dad for this brief period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Allowed him to come back and have this conversation. Learn a bit of real information about the orb from whoever controls it. Because clearly there was clearly someone behind it, a consciousness behind it, because he even says, I can't tell you what the orb is. And he was like,
maybe he doesn't know.
No. He says, I can't tell you. And then he was like, but who says? And he's like, I can't tell you. Implying there is someone or there is something.
Well, maybe
stopping
he can't
him.
Tell because he can't tell.
I really feel like the way he says it, it's like he's not allowed.
I know, but I'm trying to taskmaster. the show, and this is what I've always done, because mm-hmm. it's more interesting.
No, I mean, okay.
Than a show where you just talk to me and I go, yeah, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair. It's fair.
One of us has to be a butthead sometimes, is what I'm saying. Do we have to bleep that out?
Bleep out butthead? No.
Yeah.
We do not need to bleep out butthead.
Okay. All right, Beavis.
And I, okay, you're right. That is definitely a way to interpret that. That could be right, but I'm saying I believe that there is a conscious.
I am on board with Ghost Dad. I do. They have a connection through the orb,
mm-hmm.
and I'm curious where the orb will take us
mm-hmm.
in these, you know, next 20-ish episodes.
Yep.
18 something? 19?
Less than that?
I don't 16? Know. I've gotten into the show
mm-hmm.
and I'm just getting into it and excited for next week's episode. It's yeah. like I'm really watching TV.
Yeah. I'm a little worried that because they didn't know if the show was going to continue after season one.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to find out.
Oh, yeah.
What the orb is.
We're never going to find. Yeah. How do you think? Don't you remember the end of Freaky Links? We're
well,
never
yeah.
going to know. We're never yeah. going to know what's freaky or not.
I know. I really thought they were going to wrap some stuff up on that show and when they knew their show was going to be done. I kind of love that they didn't. And I'm sad because I'm going to be sad when they don't wrap this one up.
Mm hmm. Yeah, this is the show about being sad, obviously.
Fair. Yeah. Speaking of being sad, I realized something. There is on YouTube, there's a Briscoe County Junior reunion video from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Drago, who plays John Bly, is not in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or this video is from last year, but he's not in it because Billy Drago died in 2019.
Oh.
And I was like, because I had this idea, like, I saw a thumbnail from it, and I was like, wait, is he even in that? Because he would definitely have been in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's too bad. I really like, anytime I see Billy Drago in something, I'm like, oh, you're really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a shame. Like I want to know so much about this character. I want to know about him as a person. I don't
John
know.
John Bly as a person? We get to make that story up.
No, the actor. Billy
oh.
Drago. He seems very interesting as a person.
Oh, you just go on Wikipedia and you keep clicking.
Well, I'm sure I could probably learn a lot. So Billy
yeah,
Drago.
Were you reading about that yesterday?
Yes. Yes, I was. Drago is his maternal grandmother's maiden name because she's Romani. He's half Romani and half Native American. And he took on his grandmother's maiden name when he became an actor because his birth name was the mm-hmm. same as another actor.
Yeah, you would have to do that too.
Yeah, I would. I sure would. I might not have to because, like,
somebody here already has your name.
There's probably another Dave Frost. I mean, I know there's Sir David Frost. He died, so I might not have to change. I might not. Not that I'm going to become a member of the Actors Guild anyway. Not like any of that matters, but I'm saying if I was going to, I
so
might.
So what would your last name be?
Oh, I don't even know.
It would probably be Drago, I'm guessing.
Probably. I changed it to Raygun.
Hey,
what?
That's my name.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to be associated with you. Just kidding. LOL.
Oh, one last thing I want to say about this episode is there's a certain type of often mustachioed older man. He's got real squeaky nose. They breathe through their nose, and you can just always hear it. And I don't know what it is. What?
Who has a squeaky nose?
Briscoe's dad. Briscoe.
Maybe he has a deviated septum.
I don't know. My stepdad had this too.
Maybe he had a deviated septum.
I don't think so. I don't know what it is, but there's just something that like
maybe it's from smoking.
It might be. It's. I don't know if it has to do with the mustache, but they're both.
Oh, you think it's a mustache thing?
I don't know if it's related.
Squeaky.
I don't know if it's just like it's the hair blowing past the.
If you've ever had a mustache and you have a squeaky nose, please let us know.
But I feel like it's like you have to. It's like.
No
men of a certain age who also had mustaches are the only people I know who.
But do they still have mustaches and have the? Do you have to have the mustache and the squeaky nose?
I'm saying the only men I knew who had this kind of squeaky nose breathing thing also had mustaches, but I don't know that it's connected. It might just be that they were of a generation of men that had mustaches.
And two of them have squeaky noses that have nothing to do with anything.
I don't...
just know two squeaky nose people. And one of them is, how do you hear squeaky nose in this?
Yeah. The last scene during the conversation, like this that touching conversation we were talking about at the end.
Yeah.
I was just like, dude, breathes like my stepdad.
It's odd. This is an odd note.
It's weird. I know. Yes.
Because I didn't notice that at all.
Yeah, I know. It would be a lot weirder for you to notice.
Yeah,
I think,
I'd be
but...
like, wow, this person breathes just like your stepdad.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's something about it. I don't know why it is. I don't know if it has anything to do with the mustache, but I'm just saying there's a nose breathing sound.
They probably have nose mice.
I forgot about the nose mice. You're right. I don't know how I forgot about.
And it just happens sometimes. You just move in, mm-hmm. and then they're just in there.
Yep.
They love a mustache.
Love a mustache.
And then,
because
you know.
Any of the food that gets caught in there, they can just, like, reach out and snatch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a...
That's it.
On that note, do you have anything else you want to say about this episode?
Don't forget to look behind your mustache. Everyone.
Thank you for that important advice. And with that, until next week, I'll be waiting for you, Brisk.
A Different Direction is a TGIFRK production. You can contact the podcast at diffdirectionpod on Twitter or email us at differentdirection@tgifrk.com. You can also find information about everything that TGIFRK produces by following us at TGIFRK on Twitter. Thanks for listening.